Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Thompson Today here on 102.9 CHTM. My guest today is Mike Ravenhill, the CEO of the David Foster Foundation. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thanks for your time today. April is National Organ and Tissue Donation Awareness Month. The David Foster Foundation is very active in raising awareness about this issue, which we hear about often, especially in the difficulty many patients have in securing an organ transplant in a timely manner. Please tell our listeners about David Foster and the foundation and how it came about.
38 years ago, David received a call from his mother. David was living in L.A. at the time. David's from Victoria, British Columbia. David's mom just said, would you just go see this little girl who is at UCLA Medical Center waiting for a transplant? And in those days in the 1980s, there wasn't transplants being done in Canada. We actually had to fly to the United States to receive a transplant. So David's mom just said, hey, would you go see this little girl? And not as a celebrity, but as just somebody that's listening to their mother. So David did that. He went to see this little girl and her family and started asking some questions. And just as he was about to leave, David said to the little girl, he said, is there anything that I can do for you? And David thought the little girl would say, I just want to see this celebrity, or I want to go to Disneyland, or whatever. And the little girl just looked at David and deadpanned right in the face and said, I just want to see my sister. And David was perplexed and stepped back a little bit and asked a few more questions. And what he found out was is that this family was financially strapped and couldn't afford the airfare for their other daughter to come down to the hospital, to UCLA Medical Center. And so David said, I'm going to make this happen. So he made some phone calls. He called the aunt and then brought the little girl and the aunt from Victoria down to UCLA Medical Center. And he said, when those two little girls' eyes connected, he said, that etched in his heart forever. And he said, this will be my foundation, and I will never let a family not be together and not be able to be supported during a time of need such as this. So 38 years ago, and over 1,400 families our foundation has supported, and millions of dollars in support.
Mike, why is it so important to get the word out about organ transplants and about organ donation?
Canada right now has one of the worst organ and tissue donor registry rates in all developing countries. Now, we sit just around 30% of Canadians are registered organ and tissue donors. And we can change that. We have such a great country. We are always a country that is there to step in when the need is great. And we've seen that many times. But here's one place where we really are lacking. And so we are trying to get the word out, and it being National Organ and Tissue Donor Awareness Month, we're asking everyone to step up and think about it, the need to become a registered organ donor, and make that decision today, because you never know, one day it could be your life that's being saved.
Currently, are there organ donor registries? Are they provincial or are they national?
They're all provincial. So Canada doesn't have a national organ and tissue donor registry. Every province has their own registry. So if you are, say, in British Columbia or Manitoba, and you move from your province, and here's the other thing about it, is that it's not the same way of registering in every province either. It could be your driver's license, it could be in your care card, it could be a whole pile of different ways that you can register in different provinces. We as Canadians could do a better job and have a national registry that could help in that situation. But if you became an organ donor, registered organ donor on your driver's license, and then you moved provinces, you would think that that would carry through into the next province, but it doesn't. We've tried to create an easy way of doing it. Go to davidfosterfoundation.com, and you can click on register now, and then we actually have a map of the country. You can click on your province, and it takes literally 2 minutes to register.
Can you give us an example of what the financial impact is like when a person is waiting for a transplant or when a family is waiting for a loved one to have a transplant?
Now, our foundation, we provide financial assistance to families in need of major organ transplants for all their non-medical expenses. Of course, our government covers our medical expenses, but it doesn't cover the non-medical. So that's food, clothing, transportation, accommodations, car payments, mortgages. All of those non-medical expenses add up. So here's an example. Your child has what you think is maybe a cold or something's happening, so you take them to the doctor, and the doctor gives you that absolutely devastating news that your child's organs are failing and they need a major organ transplant or they're going to die. Well, at that point, what happens is that family just turns upside down. Now they're really trying to figure out what next. Well, that child will actually be flown or taken to a children's hospital and wait for that organ to come available. But most of the times that's in another city or province. So there'll be double the expenses. In most cases, there will be less one income for the family if it's a two-parent family, or if it's a single parent, they will lose their income because they have to be with their child. So you can see very quickly how this spirals out of control, and you will have a family that has twice the amount of expenses and no income or very little income. And 85% of families that are in this case scenario will end in bankruptcy or divorce if our foundation doesn't step in. So that's why David did what he did and started this foundation 38 years ago, because he said at no time shall a family ever be in that financial stress again, because he wants them to spend all of their time with the child beside the bed and fighting for their life and not worry about losing their house, their car, or where they're going to get the money to have food and clothing and looking after the rest of their children.
Do you feel Canadians are reluctant to become donors, or is there something with the process to become a donor that is difficult and dissuades them? What can be done to change their mindset?
Such a great question. I think it comes down to a couple things. One is education and awareness. As a country, we need to do a better job of educating the general public about the importance and the need to become a registered organ donor and what the impact is. Right now, our statistics, there's 5 deaths per week or 1 death every 30 hours in Canada. And just to become a registered organ donor, if you register yourself and when the time comes that you pass on, you could save up to 8 lives or improve the quality of life for up to 75 people. What an amazing life legacy that is. And I think a lot of it comes down to is the fact that we just aren't doing a good enough job to educate at a younger age the importance and the need of it. I think it also is misinformation and myths. And then it's also our structure in Canada isn't as simple to get onto a national registry, but each province governs and controls their own registries. So that in itself makes it harder for us to increase these numbers.
Do the countries with higher organ donor rates have the national registries as compared to provincial ones like we have?
They sure do, and you see that in other countries in the world, that national registries have higher registration rates. Or there's the other ones, the opt-out versus opt-in. Some countries have an opt-out system that you are a registered organ donor unless you don't want to be, and then you can opt out. There are different ways in different countries, but the big one is in Canada, we are an opt-in, and it would behoove us to have a national registry to make it so much easier as well for Canadians to become registered donors.
How can we assure our wishes to be an organ donor is followed through on after we've passed away? Because I have heard of occasions where someone has declared they wish to be an organ donor, but the surviving family member or family members is indicating that no, they don't want that. They aren't sure that that was the wish. What happens then?
One of the things that we say is if you decide to become a registered organ donor, please tell your family and friends. You can do that through social media. You can do that by just a conversation to say, hey, look, this is what I've just done. And if something happens to me, I would ask that you honor my wishes. Now, what can happen is you could have a family of 5 and 4 of the 5 siblings know of your wishes and 1 doesn't. Well, what happens when that time comes? And it's a very stressful time when they have to make that decision. If a doctor is in the room and 4 say, yes, you know, Johnny was a registered organ donor and that was his wishes, and one of the family members said, he didn't tell me that, the doctor, out of respect, will not carry through because one person has actually said, I don't believe that was his wishes. So they're not going to get involved in the family dynamic there, but that's why we want people to know. Let your whole family know of what your wishes are. And if they are to become a registered organ donor, then you're all collectively saying, yes, this is exactly what they wanted. Let's move forward in trying to save people's lives and improve the lives of other people because of our loved one who has just passed.
Here's something we haven't touched on yet, Michael, and that's living donors. Is there a separate registry for those?
Great question. There is. And for a living donor, it would be liver, kidney, lobe of the lung. You would have to do a full workup Canadian Blood Services at blood.ca, they talk about living organ donors. They have a great educational piece there. I'd encourage people to go to blood.ca or the Canadian Blood Services to educate themselves more on that. But that is a wonderful way that, and we're seeing more and more people doing that or becoming a match and having to do the workups for providing parts of a liver or a kidney or a lobe of a lung to help somebody live. And it's absolutely amazing how many people are selflessly doing that in order to save lives.
Mike, when our listeners want to find out more about the David Foster Foundation and how they can perhaps become an organ donor, where can they do so?
Just go to davidfosterfoundation.com. There's a tremendous amount of information. There's some wonderful stories of some of our families and our children that have gone through this heroic battle and that have come out the other side just wonderfully thriving. And you'll find so much information there, but you'll also be able to register. And that's the important part. Talk to your loved ones. Tell them what you've done. We just pray that everyone will think about it and think about the opportunity to leave a life legacy for somebody else, because you never know, one day it could be your own life that's been saved.
Just a reminder again that April is National Organ and Tissue Donation Awareness Month. Thanks to my guest today, Mike Ravenhill, the CEO of the David Foster Foundation, which promotes organ donation. If you haven't already signed up, maybe look at the website davidfosterfoundation.com and get some information, make an informed decision. For this edition of Thompson Today on 102.9 CHTM, I'm Sue O'Brien.